Sagt der Heilige Mishnah weiter, man sagt es Bekurim, Perig Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. I'm sure every child in the world can say this. You got a cookie or a lollipop from the lollipop man, a shul that gives out lollies. You got a Chanukah present from your Zayda, from your Baba, from your grandmother, your grandfather. And they say, what do you say? Or your mother says, what do you say? You say, thank you. And you wonder, you're telling me, say thank you. So that's not a real thank you. I say thank you because I want to get the present. So what's the point of it? So let me tell you something. There is a tremendous point in saying thank you, even if you're not up to it yet. You know why? I'm going to read to you from the Sefer HaChinuch in Parshas Kisavai. The Chinuch discusses the mitzvah of Bikurim. And the Chinuch says like this, Mishar Shei HaMitzvah. If you want to get into the root of this mitzvah, to understand what Bikurim does for us, Lefi Sheha'adam Me'oirim Machshavaisav, a person generates his machshavos, umetzayir bilavavi, and he imagines in his heart, ha'emes b'koyach divrei piv. When you say thank you, when you say something, you begin to think about it. You begin to think about it, you begin to imagine it, and then you begin to follow it. Chas v'shalom, if a person says something negative or not nice, it's not just speech, it begins to affect his machshava, his heart, his everything. And when you say something nice, just the opposite. Alkein therefore says the Sefer HaChinuch, Behetiv Elav Hashem Baruch Hu, Ubevarchi Oisei Vesed Masei Lases Peiros. So you're in Eretz Yisrael and your field produces peiros. And you take from the Shiva Saminim, V'zacha Laviyem Lebeisa Lekeinu, your Zaycha to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. Roi Lai La'oir Levavi, we want to generate your heart, B'divrei Piyu, through the words of your mouth. To think, I don't deserve anything. The Bari Olam gave me everything. We begin to tell about the great chasadim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. So Bikurim is all about changing the focus of our life. Although the mitzvah of Bikurim is only when the Beis HaMikdash was standing and in Eretz Yisrael, but if we practice being makir, recognizing the chesed of Hashem, as we say Moida Ani, when we wake up in the morning, that'll be the greatest proof that Hashem give us a chance and will show you how we will be able to fulfill the Ezra Hashem Yisbar, the mitzvah of Bikurim, when the Beis HaMikdash will be built by Ezra Hashem. So let's be more technical. I have a field in Eretz Yisrael, and I see my fruits start to ripen. I go down to my field and I see a fig that began to ripen. Or maybe grapes. Or pomegranates. Any of the Shiva Saminim. I tie it with a gemi. A gemi is like a thin reed as a simen, and I say, these are Bikurim. And a special kiddusha goes on to the peiros, even while they're still connected to the tree. Even though they're just starting to get ripe. How much Bikurim do I have to give? There's no shear. Even a small amount. The Rambam holds us, be 1/60. After I separate the Bikurim, I have to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. It's my responsibility to make sure they get to the Harabayah, some say to the Azara. And Bikurim is brought during a special time, not before Shavuos and not after Chanukah. Bikurim are brought in a keli, v'samta batena, a special basket. And when I get there, I read the special psukim. Even while the basket is still on my shoulder. Bringing Bikurim and reading the Psukim, as we are going to learn in this Masechta, are considered, according to the Rambam, two separate mitzvahs. Bikurim require tnufa. After I read the Psukim, I take the basket off my shoulder. The Kayan puts his hands under mine. We lift the basket together, back and forth and up and down. Then the basket is put down on the side of the Mizbeach. I bow down and I leave. What happens to the Bikurim afterwards? It's divided amongst the Kayhanim who are serving at that shift. Bikurim come along with three things: carbon, shear, and lina. Carbon, along with the Bikurim, comes a carbon shlamim. Shear, the Levium sang a special shear when they came into the Beis HaMikdash with the Bikurim. Arimimcha Hashem ki dilisani. Lina means that when you bring the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, you didn't leave that day from your Shalayim to return back home. you slept over in Yerushalayim, the Bikurim themselves have a very special Kiddusha. They have the Kiddusha of Truma. That means a non-Kohen cannot eat it, and someone whose tummy cannot eat it. The Kohanim that do eat it can only eat it inside Yerushalayim. Okay, let's see our Mishnah. Masechtas Bikurim Perik Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, Yesh, Mevin Bikurim V'Kohen. Some bring Bikurim and they read the Parsha. We'll soon see which Parshias they're supposed to read. But like we explained before from the Rambam holds these are two separate mitzvahs. There's the bringing of Bikurim and the reading the Parsha. Some people have the mitzvah of bringing the Bikurim, they don't have the mitzvah of reading. So again, Yesh Mevin Bikurim V'Kohen, there are those who bring Bikurim and they read the Parsha. Then there are those Mevi'in that bring Bikurim v'loikayr, and they don't read the parsha of the Bikurim. V'yesh in a Mevi'in, and there are those that don't bring Bikurim at all. The Mishnah begins. And we begin by explaining the last one, those that don't bring Bikurim at all. Elu, the following people, are those she'in a Mevi'in, they don't bring Bikurim at all. Hanateyev, someone planted a tree, l'tach shaloi, in his own field, but v'hivrich, we learned about this in earlier Masechtas. He took one branch, put it into the ground, kind of tunneled it through the ground, and the other end of the branch comes up, l'toich shel yachid oy shel ram, into his friend's field, either an individual, or into a rishus harabim. So if you were standing next to his tree, you would see the branch go into the ground. You won't see anything, because it's running through the ground, it's covered with offer, but if you follow it carefully, you will see that the other side of the branch comes up, either in his friend's field or in the Rishus HaRabim. Same is true the other way around. There's a branch that goes from his friend's field underneath the ground, or a branch that comes from the Rishus HaRabim, a public domain, and it runs underneath the ground and it comes up L'toich Shaloi, in his field. Or, says the Mishnah, V'derech HaYachid, V'derech HaRabim Be'emza. What does this mean? This man has two fields. But there's a path. It could be a private path that runs between the two fields. Or a public path that runs between the two fields. And here, his branch goes from his tree in one field, underneath the ground, under the path, and comes up on the other side of the path. Even though, where the branch goes into the ground, as well as where the branch comes out of the ground, in this case, they're both his fields, but they're not the same fields. There's a path in between. So in all these cases, Hareze Einoi Mevi, he does not bring Bikurim. Because Bikurim is only when the fruit grows in your property. And in all these cases, part of it is not growing in his property. Even where the branch goes in and comes out in his property, but it runs underneath the ground. That's not his. So the part that's growing there is not his. And according to the Tanakam, in order to be chayiv and bikurim, every part of the tree has to be growing on your property. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees about this last case. Rabbi Yehuda Mekizem maybe. Rabbi Yehuda argues on this last din that the Tanakam has said, and he holds. If it goes in your property and comes out in your property just because there is a path in between, he's still mechuyev in bikurim. He won't read the parsha, but he does bring bikurim. Rabbi Yehuda Mekezeh, in this last case, maybe he does bring bikurim. Why does Rabbi Yehuda hold this way? The reason is because Rabbi Yehuda holds that if you went to ask a Rav Ashayla, am I allowed to dig underneath the Rishus HaRabim? The Rav would paskin, yes you can, as long as it's done in a safe way that doesn't hurt or get in the way of the people that are walking on the road. So says Rabbi Yehuda, because he has Rishus, the tunnel underneath the path, so even though part of the branch is drawing energy from the ground that's underneath the path, but that's his. He has Rishus to put it there. Memele Rabbi Yehuda holds that these payers are mechuyev and bikurim. But because it's not totally his, therefore he doesn't read the parsha. So, chazing over our Mishnah, there are three categories of people. There are those who bring bikurim and they say the psukim. There are those who bring and they don't say the psukim. And there are those who don't bring bikurim at all. And the Mishnah began by explaining the last category. Somebody plants a tree in his own land and he bends a branch, which we call v'hivrach, under the ground and it comes up in the private property of somebody else, or in public property, or in the Rishos Rabim, or the other way around, the branch starts out in someone else's private property, or in the Rishos Rabim, and comes up in his own property, and according to the Tanakhama, even if he starts in his own property, runs it underneath a path, and it comes up in a different field that also belongs to him, in all these three cases, he does not bring Bikurim, because it didn't grow in his ground, totally. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees on the last case. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds one has permission to dig a hole or a tunnel underneath public property, again, as long as it's done in a safe way, meaning that even a wagon laden with stones could travel over it and it's not endangered by the tunnel underneath, and it doesn't inconvenience anyone. This is a sugya in Masechtas Bava Basra, perhaps you remember, in the third Perek. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds you can do this, so the branch that's running underneath the public property is also in a way his, because he has rishus to be there. But again, still, because it's not totally his, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, he brings Bikurim, but he doesn't get to say the Pesukim.